It's good to be with you again, stand before you, and bring a portion of God's word unto you here this day. If you have a Bible with you, you might use it as a guide as we speak about some verses in the Word of God that might strengthen us, help edify us in living the life that God expects of each of us as we walk each day here upon this earth. The title of my lesson this morning is Better Never to Have Been Born. We'll look at some characters in the Bible that it may have been said concerning them that maybe it was better never to have been born. Possibly sometime in your life you may have come home from work or from school after a long day, very tired and frustrated with yourself, that day just didn't seem to go like you wanted it to. And of course, we can't change the past, but we can make right the present and the future. But you may think within yourself that maybe it would have been better never to have been born. We hope we don't go to that drastic step that maybe it would not have been better to have been born, even though your day didn't go very well at all. At the Last Supper, Jesus told the disciples that one of them would betray him. As we turn in our Bibles to Matthew, the 26th chapter, we notice here in verse 24 that Christ said it had been good for that man if he had not been born. So we notice here in chapter 26 of Matthew, and there in verse 24, said the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man of whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it. Also, in the midst of great suffering, we can go back to the account of Job. Going back to Job, the third chapter. And we notice there in the first few verses of Job chapter 3 of what suffering that Job had went through. And Job probably must have wished that he had never been born of the things that he suffered. In Job chapter 3 and beginning there in verse 1, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job spoke and said, may the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a man-child is conceived. Of all the suffering that Job had went through, I'm sure he felt like he wished he had never been born. Christ also speaks of one, and turning back to our New Testament again in Matthew, the 18th chapter. In Matthew chapter 18 and there in verse 6, of one who caused a faithful child to fall. In Matthew chapter 18 and there in verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone be hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Some people actually would be better off if they had not been born. The spiritual condition of one must be very bad for Christ to say it had been good for that man if he had not been born. Those words were directed to Judas Iscariot. Going to Matthew, the 26th chapter, and there in verse 14 of this chapter, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. And so from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Judas Iscariot had bargained to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. There are even many today who seem to deny Christ, and also maybe could be said of them, better never to have been born. This morning we like to look at some characters of those who have brought reproach upon Jesus Christ, of those who have turned from Christ, and yet maybe it could be said of them also, better never to have been born. The first character we'd like to look at was that of a traitor, one who sells the Lord. There are some people in the world today who are traitors, people you can't trust, people that will go behind your back and do things that would make it life uneasy for you. Judas Iscariot was identified by that term in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke, the 6th chapter. And there in verse 16, in Luke chapter 6, and there in verse 16, it says, "Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor." Judas was one of the trusted disciples, but he betrayed that trust. As we noted earlier in Matthew, the 26th chapter, and there in verse 15, that Judas was a traitor, and his price was 30 pieces of silver. He was wanting more of a monetary gain than actually to be a disciple of Christ. Jesus gives charge to all of us to follow him, to be his disciple. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, and we notice there in verse 24 of this chapter, Matthew chapter 16, and there in verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" There are those also among us who may be like traitors, who sell out the Lord. The admonition for each of us is to seek God first. I noticed in our Bible lesson, our Bible study here this morning, looking there at Matthew chapter 6 and there in verse 33, when it was said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It is so easy to sell out as Judas did. But we should strive to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Our 30 pieces of silver might include worldly popularity, that I want to be known throughout all the world. Our 30 pieces of silver might be power, might be pleasure. And if we compromise eternal principles that Christ has given us for monetary gain, what are we going to receive? What are we actually going to have? Judas thought he was selling Christ, but really he sold himself. A lover of oneself is described for us back in Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, and there in verse 19, when it was spoken, or let's first back up there to verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For any who would sell out the Lord today, like Judas Iscariot, it would have been better never to have been born. Another character we'd like to look at here this morning is that of the unbeliever, one who denies the Lord. Some people deny even the existence of God. Going back to the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, it is spoken there in Genesis chapter 1 and there in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very existence of God is shown here. From the very beginning of time, that this heaven that we see, this earth that we live on, was created by God. Turn with me also to Psalms, in Psalms 19. And there in verse 1 and 2 of this chapter, the evidence of God surrounds us. We see the beauty, the nature of all things that God had created. In Psalms 19, and there beginning in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and a firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. What great surroundings that we live in here today. The earth that we stand upon, the stars that we see at night, the heavens declare the glory of God. What evidence we have that God surrounds us. Turning to Romans, the first chapter, and there in verse 20 of this chapter, we notice here in Romans chapter 1, and there in verse 20, with all the abundance of the evidence, there is a God. Only a very foolish person would say there is no God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they know God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Only a foolish person would say there is no God. When we see everything that surrounds us, the beauty of nature, the evidence that God had made this. There are many kinds of unbelievers. Some believe in evolution. Some believe in idols. Some believe in astrology and in black magic, in witchcraft, all of which deny the existence of God. But even if a person believes in God, there's still a faith beyond that which God requires. Turning to the Gospel of John in John the 8th chapter. In John chapter 8 and there in verse 24. We notice here in this scripture that God demands that we believe his Son. For in John chapter 8 and verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. The Apostle Paul, or the apostles later told the Jews who did not believe in Jesus as the Christ, there's none other among us. There's none other salvation except that of Jesus Christ. In Acts, the 4th chapter, and there in verse 12, we find here in this scripture no, there is salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can seek salvation. When one does not believe in God and in Jesus as his Son, our Savior, then maybe it could be said of them, of the unbeliever, better never to have been born. Another character we would like to look at here this morning is that of the apostate, one who renounces the Lord. Apostasy is defined as a renunciation of faith, a defection or a turning away from. When one deliberately turns his back on the Lord and deserts the principles that the Lord has given him to guide his life, that person is an apostate. Not every sinner falls into this category. For as we look to Galatians, the 6th chapter, and there in verse 1, we may fall without falling. In Galatians chapter 6, and there in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We may fall without falling away. We may be considered as an apostate. In 1 John, the first chapter, and there in verse 8, we deceive ourselves if we say that we have no sin. 1 John chapter 1, and there in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Through fear or weakness, because of the pleasures of sin, or for other reasons, we may sin, but that may not be apostasy. Some departed from the faith. As we look to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and there beginning in verse 1. These did not simply fall away. They fell away from the faith. Now the Spirit expressly says, in the latter time, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created, to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. They did not simply fall away. They fell away from the faith. In Hebrews chapter 6, and there beginning in verse 4 of this chapter, they fell away due to apostasy. In Hebrews chapter 6, and there in verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. When one has become a Christian and then turns deliberately away from the life to which Christ has called him, the latter end could be worse for them than the beginning. And a scripture that we have reference to that is in 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and there in verse 20, that the latter end could be worse with them than the beginning. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. How true it is for such people that maybe it had been better never to have been born. Another character we'd like to look at here this morning is that of the hypocrite, one who dishonors the Lord. Some of the most hateful denunciations are recorded for us in the scriptures. It is found in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, as Jesus addressed a group of Jews. Seven times there in that chapter, in Matthew chapter 23, seven times Jesus used the expression, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." The term hypocrite literally means a play actor, one who plays a role. Such a person is pretending to be something which he is not. In Romans chapter 3, and there in verse 23, Apostle Paul, in writing here to the Roman brethren, he said in Romans chapter 3 and there in verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But not all are hypocrites." People often say there are too many hypocrites in the church today. Even one is too many. And I believe that there are very, very few hypocrites in the church. I've seen people who try and fail. I've seen some who don't even try very hard at all. I've seen some who make that same mistake time and time again. I don't see hypocrites. I see people with weaknesses who often fail, but they're trying to overcome those weaknesses and be what Christ wants them to be. Maybe you see yourself in this picture. These people are not pretenders, but ordinary people who try to cope with life's daily trials and temptations. There will be some hypocrites in nearly any group you find. There was Judas among the 12 apostles. But don't judge any group by the hypocrites that may be in it. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and there in verse 13, in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and there in verse 13, he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And there is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." There were hypocrites then. So don't be discouraged if you find one today. Let each of us recognize that the hypocrite is not representative of the Lord and his church. For anyone to just go through the motions must be a sad and dreary life. Not fit to live, not prepared to die, nor to face judgment. A hypocrite could be one that could be said of him, "Better never to have been born." Another character we'd like to look at here this morning is that of the indifferent. Those who ignore the Lord. Going back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and there in verse 12. God warned Israel when he brought them out of Egypt into Canaan not to forget the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and there in verse 12, he said, Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. The indifferent, those who ignore the Lord. We receive God's blessings in constant supply. The air we have to breathe, the water we have to drink, the sunshine that warms us during the day, the rain that we receive, the seed time and the harvest. And we know that everything that we have comes from God. In James chapter 1, and there in verse 17, everything that we receive comes from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. But do we give him thanks for these things? Do we show our appreciation by the way that we live? Very grateful for the things that God has provided for us. When Jesus was on trial, Pontius Pilate did not want to condemn Christ. But at the insistence of the Jews, Pilate pronounced that death sentence. Turning to the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew, the 27th chapter, and there in verse 24 of this chapter, Pilate tried to wash his hands of the matter, but he could not be neutral nor indifferent. In Matthew chapter 27, and there in verse 24, while Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." Pilate could not go through with declaring that Jesus, or to condemn Jesus for what he had done. Pilate tried to wash his hands of the matter. Said, "You take care of it. I don't want to have anything to do with it." The scripture tells us in the Gospel of John, and in John, the 19th chapter, and there in verse 10, that Pilate had the power to condemn or to set free. But as he stated here, and stated here in John, the chapter 19, and there in verse 10, it said, "Then Pilate said to him, 'Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?' Jesus answered, 'You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin.'" He could not, in justice, deliver an innocent man to be crucified. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, and there beginning in verse 35, when Jesus was there on the cross, the soldiers cast lots for his clothes. Matthew chapter 27, and there, beginning in verse 35, he said, "Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" The Son of God was suffering there in agony for our sins, and these men were indifferent. How could they be? Casting lots for his clothing. The greatest one among them had died that cruel death there on the cross. In conclusion here this morning, what about us? When we consider what God does for us every day, what Christ did for us there at Calvary, that we might be saved, how can we ignore his pleas and continue to live for oneself? In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and there in verse 15, the scripture tells us that we should live unto him. Let's back up there to verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Can we be indifferent to what he has done for us? Paul tells us in the book of Romans, in Romans the 6th chapter, Romans chapter 6 and beginning there in verse 3, that we are to crucify the old man and to walk in newness of life. In Romans chapter 6 and beginning there in verse 3, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized unto Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin." May the Lord help you and I, so that living for him becomes our real goal in life. If we do not follow the teachings and God's word, the plan that has been set before us, it might be also true with each of us, better never to have been.